about 2.5 years here, and we feel so much at home that Jill sat in the second front row with two of our friends. And but we had significant changes in our family when we were here. Kate made lots of good friends. In fact, she left here for a while and come back with her husband, and there they are at the back. Caroline, she also made many friends that she still works with today. What do you call it? Facebook? I haven't got that. It takes up too much time. Also, Jill has made friends. I have too. She has many friends here, some in the cake icing industry. And Martin, he became a Christian here through the ministry of this church. And last night we were both in our bedroom on our hands and knees praying for this church because we love it so much. And I think this was the place where the biggest crisis of my life occurred, not here but elsewhere, and where I found a lot of encouragement and refreshment from the people here. So thank you very much. And I think I read in one of the things in your website that Dan Big likes to exercise. Who else likes to exercise? I like swimming. Ah, that's one. Yeah, that was almost like a praise. Woo! I like exercising. I like swimming. I think my dad, he swam in the Maribyrnong swimming pool for 55 years. Not non-stop, but... Every day he went down and swam for about an hour, and I think he encouraged me to do that. Out of our five kids, I'm probably the only one who does swimming on a regular basis. And about 18 months ago in Maribyrnong, Dad and I went for a swim together, and we got out and he's getting dressed and getting changed and doing up his buttons and putting his sandals on, and I'm still wiping myself dry, and I just get myself all dry, and we noticed a man come in. And he was soaking wet, fully clothed, soaking wet. He either swam in his clothes or fell in the pool. And he walked in and said, "The water's great today." And then he goes in the shower and has a shower. Not quite sure why. Preserve to get the chlorine out of his clothes. And he comes over to us and he looks at Dad and says, "Excuse me, are you a Christian?" And Dad has got a little bit of dementia and is very poor at hearing, and he, "What did he say, Peter?" I said, "Dad, he asked you if you're a Christian." "Oh yes, I'm a Christian." And I say to the friend, "Well, he's not really, he believes in God, but he denies Jesus Christ." I've shared the gospel with Dad, denies Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Saviour. And then he says to Dad, "I have a letter for you." And he tells him some letter of the alphabet. "This means Jesus is going to save you." And he knew I was a pastor and a Christian. And he says, "I got a letter for you. It's P. Pure." Oh, that was nice. And he tells me that every day he praises God and prays to him that he could go out and tell someone about Jesus. And the Lord gives him a letter and the meaning to that letter. And then he said, "It's so good to see you, brother. Come on, give me a big hug." And he comes up, gives me a huge big hug, this stranger. He's very stocky and strong. And I'm going, "Oh, man, he's wet too." And I'm drenched. So I have to dry myself again. And he says, "Bless you, brother," and off he goes. And the dad says, "Do you know him?" I said, "No." But one thing about that man might have been a little bit odd, to say the least, but he loved Jesus and he wanted to get the message of Jesus out. He loved praising Jesus and he had compassion for my father, enough to tell him that one day he's going to be a Christian. And as we look at the word today, and as David so wonderfully introduced, Jesus is a man of compassion. And we look at him here, and he's coming into the city of Nain, or the town of Nain. And there's a big crowd behind him. His disciples and a large crowd. They'd seen marvelous things from Jesus. People being healed. People bringing almost to the point of death. And Jesus going there and saying the word from a distance and those people being healed. People possessed by demons and in bondage and no way to get out. Jesus casting out demons. Jesus giving life to the lost. And this crowd is excited. They're talking. They're loud. They're kicking up dust. They're with this Jesus. What will he do next? And then there's another crowd coming out from the city of Nain, coming out of the town gates. And the colour of death is over this crowd. They're mourning. For there's a poor widow. And on this stretcher, it wasn't so much a coffin like a box, it's more like a stretcher that the man was lying on. Her young man's son, manly son, he died. And her only means of support and protection was gone. There would be no more perpetuation of the family line. Hers was a tragic, lonely and bitter story. They're coming out and the crowd's coming in and they stop. What will happen next? Jesus' heart, full of compassion, goes out to her and says, "Don't cry." And if we're joined to the heart of Jesus, we'll have the same compassion as his. Recently, I met up with a Sudanese family that we knew 6 years ago in a previous church. I got to know them again because I was walking down the main street of Moruka and I saw these two young Sudanese women, probably in their late teens, and I just kept walking and all of a sudden one of them yelled out, "Pastor Peter!" And then she came and rushed up to me and gave me a big hug. I keep getting hugs from strangers. Hugs are free, okay? So if you feel like hugging me afterwards, that's okay, because I'm used to getting hugged. Even my wife hugs me sometimes. First thing in the morning, last thing at night. But this young Sudanese girl hugs me, and before she hugs me, she yells out, and I say, "Hi, hello! Hi, hello!" As echo. I didn't quite remember her name, well, I didn't, and I forgot where I'd met her from, but she looked familiar. And I said, "How's the family?" And she told me about Beatrice, and then I remembered. Ah, that's the family from the church, Anley Church. And later that night, when I got home, I rang my daughter, Kate, and said, "Have you got the number to our friends?" And I gave her the description, and she said, "Yeah, this is Consi." So I met Consi in the street. And I rang up and got Beatrice, the second eldest girl. And she said, "Oh, I'm so excited to hear you. I wish I could see you face to face and talk to you face to face." So we arranged a time to go and see the family. And there's Benin, the father, Santa, the mother, and the six children. And there was two kids that were born since I'd last seen them. Very shy until they got to know me, and then they're climbing all over me and touching what's left of my hair. And then Santa came home about nine, and she told me her story since I last saw her. She had health problems from having kids. And she told me another sad story. Back in Sudan, her dad and her brother died in a very short space of time. And she was talking to her mum on the phone, and her mother had lost a husband and a son and was so grieving that she wanted to kill herself. And Santa said, "Mum, don't kill yourself. Somehow I'll raise some money and I'll fly over to be with you." She had a heart filled with compassion, because she knew what it was to grieve. And Jesus knows what it's like to grieve. Jesus saw that mother and the dead son, and he hates death because he knows where it comes from. result of sin. He has a heart of compassion. But also he has a heart that can bring people from the dead. A heart that brings power to people. A heart that can raise the dead. And here is this man destined for the grave. And all the people mourning for him. And he goes up and he touches this stretcher. And he says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And everyone is shocked because he touches the stretcher of a dead man, becoming in their eyes unclean. But Jesus is above that law. Jesus gave that law. Jesus is perfect and forever clean. "Young man, I say to you, get up." The brain comes to life. The heart starts beating. Blood goes through the body. The tendons start pulling and the muscles bunch up and he sits upright and Jesus helps him off and gives that young man back to his mother. That's power. Jesus has the power to restore life and hope. And I know that personally. From when he came and saved me to when in a crisis time I come to this church and spent about 2.5 years needing Jesus' power and his restoration to heal me. And you people have been involved in that. I know another person has power, and that was this guy sitting here, Matt White. He's powerful. My son's powerful. In fact, I thought my son was strong a couple of years ago, but he's even more powerful now. He lifts heavy weights and does big workouts, but he's such a lovable guy. When he was 19, he was stronger than me, but I had that father psychological advantage over him. So we're in the backyard with the boxing gloves on, and I'm sort of winning. You know, it's not bad. An old man. And then he hit me. Right there. And I sat up on the grass wondering what happened. And Dad, he's there looking at me, laughing. "Are you right, Dad?" It took 3 weeks for God to heal my ribs. The old line has retired. But there is more power in Jesus. And he's the one that has the power to give life. He gives spiritual life. If you're a Christian, it's because of Jesus. His power put life into you, restored you to the Heavenly Father through himself. And look at what happened. The crowd, they were all filled with awe and praised God. Verse 16, "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people. God has come to visit the Jews." They'd been waiting for the Christ to come. And they saw a wonderful miracle. And though they didn't fully understand who Jesus Christ was at that time, they recognized the Almighty God had come to help and to heal. And I love the way Alex talked about praise this morning. I love the selection of songs. I love the way David led. Praise. I love the way that man saw Dad and he had compassion. He praised God in the mornings. Praise is what Christians do when they have been touched by the power of God and saved. Praise. It's part of life. It's a way of life for Christians. And we see in our lives daily sometimes things that we can praise God for. But there's also times when you cannot praise God, when you're sick or depressed or so tired from looking after sick children that you can't even raise much energy even to come to church. Or you've personally got some sort of illness. But praise is part of the Christian's life. And we have a friend we made in the other church. Her name's Summer, a Korean girl. And she came to to Australia a few years ago and moved to Toowoomba to live and went to a church English classes. And then she decided to go to Brisbane, and she came to Brisbane and she'd asked the church or the people up there in Toowoomba where could she go to learn English, and they said, well, there's a church called Windsor Road Baptist Church. They have a big English teaching ministry. So she went to this church. And there she heard the gospel over and over and over. Because in their teaching, they teach the English, the grammar, stories, and then they go into the scriptures, teaching English as mission. And eventually, she recognized her need for Jesus, because she, in all her loveliness, was a sinner. God saved her. She received Jesus. She lives to praise him. Every time you see Summer, big smile on the face, there's some reason she can praise God. Now she decided that she wants to go to Africa on mission. She's a qualified teacher in Korea. She could come here and become a teacher. But she decided to do another degree in nursing, so she could go to Africa to be a registered nurse to help with the medical needs of the people, but also bring the gospel of Jesus to them. And the Korean people, the Korean Christians, send out more missionaries into the world now than the United States. She's one changed by Jesus. She's one praising him. And praise is a natural response to Christ's life-giving greatness. That's what she's found. And look at verse 17. The news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This news they couldn't keep to themselves. Praise and proclaiming go together. If you are praising God, you'll be a proclaimer. You can do it in church. You can do it sharing with your fellowship of friends. You can do it with strangers. Praise and proclaiming go hand in hand. And they were compelled to go out. This story had to be told. And we've got a story to tell. It's the best story we've ever heard. The most glorious, wonderful story the world will ever know. Jesus, the centre person of history, is a story we can tell. About 15 months ago, I went to a coffee shop in Garden City, to the Monte Carlo coffee shop, and I used to do it a lot. I do it less these days. Go there to pray and to share and ask God to lead me to somebody. And I met a waitress who broke her glass, and I got in a conversation with her and then gave her a gospel outline. And after her shift, she came and talked and said, what's this mean? 2 weeks later, I met her boyfriend and encouraged him to come to English classes. Now they've become our friends. We've had lunch with them, dinner with them. We've had dinner at their place, taken them on little trips. In fact, the other day I said to them, I'm coming over to visit you, if that's okay. And they said, quick, come over. And I went over there, and Amy, her English name, had made 2 small lamb steaks for me. She marinated them for 30 minutes, put them in the oven, and sort of baked them in there. And she asked me when I got there, how do you like your meat? I said, I like it medium. She said, oh, no, I hope it's not well done. And she brings it out, puts it on a plate. Amy sits there on my left. Dwayne sits on my right, watching me with my 2 pieces of lamb steak by themselves on the plate. Get my knife and fork. Cut. Very nice. I generally meant that. It was tasty. She said, how is it? I said, it's beautiful. Are you sure? It's not too well done, no. She wanted to please me because we love each other. Dwayne and Amy love us and we love them. I cut into both of them and ate them, and they watched me all the time It was a little bit strange. That's okay. I cut off the fat and left that, so I hope they didn't mind. But then we did a little bit of English talk and pronunciation. They tried to pronounce the word raw, as in raw meat. But they said, oh, sometimes people like eating raw meat. And I couldn't understand. And anyway, she eventually described what she was talking about. So I said, you mean raw? And I helped them understand or how to pronounce the letter R. And then I talked about prayer and how I needed more work in my occupation. I'm working as a support worker for the cerebral palsy league at the moment. And I said I prayed to God and I asked for more work. And I went to the manager and said, I need more work. And they said, we haven't any more work. So I said, ask them for a reference so I can find some more. The next day they rang up and said, Peter, we've actually do have more work. Come in and see us tomorrow. And I said to them, God answered my prayer. And I'm praying for you that one day you'll get to know Jesus. I previously told them the message about Jesus and the gospel. And I said to them, Jesus is real to me. I read about him in the Bible. I know he's there. I feel him. He's there always. And he is too good for me to keep to myself. I've got to get him out. And I think it's true that one of the best ways that I found to talk about Jesus is to talk about him from the Bible and from my own experience. To tell the story that is found in the scriptures that's touched you and changed you, and you have to get out. You have to tell it or proclaim it. And this is the gospel. The gospel is not just to talk about eternal life, but it's the quality. It's fellowship with God. We've got fellowship with God now, but wait till we get to heaven. Talk about praise. Wow. We'll be praising with the angels for eternity. Fellowship with our Father and our Lord. That's how it was in the Garden of Eden. Until sin entered the human race. The devil tempted Adam and Eve. They had beauty with God and they chose to go away from God. They sinned. They chose to go away. It was rebellion. And every person ever since has been born with the same infection, an infection of the heart that is lethal and causes death, and it's called sin. And if you're not a Christian, you will die separated for all eternity from God. You will not enjoy fellowship with the Father. You will be on your lonesome and ownsome for your eternity, gnashing your teeth, loathing yourself for not accepting him when you heard about him. The barrier between us and God is that sin. And Romans 6:23 said the wages of sin is death. Death or sin go hand in hand. Sin and death go hand in hand. But God came to us in Jesus. The good news, the compassionate God, come to help his people. Come to save the lost. Jesus took our place on that cross. Jesus did not need to die for his sins because he had none. He died for our sins. He bore them on the cross. He died for us, separated from God so much that he could say, my God, why have you forsaken me? In God, we have hope. He was buried in a tomb. Third day later, the God-man, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man in one person, rose from the dead, victorious, showed the world that he has victory over sin and death and Satan and all forms of evil. everything you could think of. And he calls you now to come to him. Receive him by faith. That's all it takes. Receive him by faith. When I become a Christian on my own under my father-in-law's house at lunchtime, all I said was, I've tried everything else, Jesus. Now I'm trying you. You can have all of me. Changed. That's how easy. You don't have to pray a big long prayer. You just come to him in faith. And we live because he died. We're no longer separated because he lives. And I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is a power of God for the salvation of all who believe. You might lose friends, you might lose some family members, but don't worry. You're doing faithfully what Jesus called you to do. And that's get out, get out, get out this message, because it's too good to keep to yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the Lord of compassion, of power, who saves, who died for us, for our sins. We thank you that we can praise you, God. We thank you that we can tell the message of you, Jesus. You mean so much to us. We have been changed for all eternity. Jesus, you had no sin in yourself to die for, but you died for ours. Truly, wonderfully, indescribably remarkable. We love you, Jesus. Grant us that power and compassion that we can go out and tell people about you. You are the Almighty One. And Lord Jesus, if there's anyone here today who don't know you, I pray that you would speak to them clearly and let them know that they are special in your eyes, that you want them to have eternal fellowship with the Father and yourself. Speak to them. Let them know that it's by faith and faith alone. All they have to do is say, Lord Jesus, thank you, I believe. And I pray this and ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And singers will come up now and sing the final song, Mighty to Save. Thank you.